Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Today I'm joined by music supervisor and composer agent Rebecca Grierson to discuss a few recent releases which you may wish to add to your playlist. Up for discussion today, the debut album from British R&B singer Dornick, the second album from LA synth poppers Deluxe, which is called Generation, and we'll also be taking a look at the soundtrack from Guy Ritchie's new film The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and discussing the appeal of film scores with or without their visuals. That's all coming up on the Arts Review here on Monocle 24. Rebecca, welcome to the show. Before we get into the three tracks you've picked for us, we introduced you there at the top as a music supervisor and composer agent. I guess, what does a music supervisor do? That sounds like a fun job, and how do you get to do it?
It does. It can be fun. Yeah, it is fun on the whole. Yeah, you get to be quite creative and search for music, usually on a brief that a director or an agency or a producer has set you. So you'll kind of go away, do your research, and then if they like it, if it works with the scene or the advert or the film or whatever you're supervising, then you have to go about negotiating the deal. So you then try and beg and plead record labels and publishers to give permission to put it on air. And then once that's done, it's just a whole bunch of paperwork and making sure it's all gone through legitimately. So, yeah, it's kind of wearing lots of hats. But, yeah, on the whole, the creative process is quite good fun.
Is it one of those jobs that starts to overtake all aspects of your life? I mean, I guess when you're listening to new tracks such as the ones you've chosen today, do you find yourself thinking, what could that soundtrack, what commercial could that go in? What sort of a film would that work with?
Yeah, I do sometimes. Yeah, it's hard to switch off. And you can imagine it, and sometimes you imagine the kind of picture it would be and the kind of scene. But on the whole, yeah, I'm quite good at switching off as well and just enjoying it as an album in its own right.
And in terms of the composer agent, who are you representing and what do any of them have coming up?
I've got a really good roster of six artists. So there's Room 24, who are based in London. That's Simon Little and Ross Wakefield. So Simon's been over in Southeast Asia on tour with Diageo for Johnny Walker Blue Label. So that's for a whiskey installation, which is a huge pipe organ, which you taste the whiskey and listen to the music, and it's all been neuroscience. And it was Charles Spence from Oxford University who came up with these formulas of music and whiskey. So he's having a lot of fun.
See, now that sounds like an even more fun job.
Yeah, that was a good project, I have to say. And then we've got Riot, who's based out in LA, and she's actually in New York this week launching her sound installation, which is called Alt Mode. So that's an amazing projection mapping and dance show. She worked with an amazing choreographer called Kate Watson, and they're going to be having that in New York's Central Park, and that's a big free concert, so anyone in New York can go along to that.
Those shows are amazing. The free summer shows in Central Park, it's a lovely venue.
It's such a brilliant thing to do, and it's amazing they've kept it up all these years. So, yeah, so she's lucky to be involved with that. So I'm not going to make it out there, unfortunately. But so I'm busy in London. We're doing a couple of projects I can't reveal the name of, the brands, but let's just say cars and footballers. So busy tying up music and sound design.
Okay,
this week for that.
Well, moving seamlessly along, what we can reveal the three tracks that you wanted to discuss today. In fact, we have kind of revealed them at the top of the show, but we can now actually listen to them.
Okay.
We're going to begin with Dornick, a British R&B singer, debut self-titled album. How did you happen across Dornick and why have you chosen it?
He had a couple of tracks floating around. I think I found him on SoundCloud about a year ago and just kind of like instantly took a shine to this track we're going to play, actually. It's disappeared off of SoundCloud now because he's been signed to a major label, to Ireland. But I was lucky I got to see him last week at Notting Hill Arts Club, and he's just released his album last week too. So he had his five-piece band on stage, kind of crammed on this tiny little stage. And yeah, he was just vocally incredible live. Really, 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 really good musicians in the band. And he's just got a really amazing sound. Like, I mean, he has got he is getting quite a few references and comparisons to like young Michael Jackson and Prince, and there's even kind of other bits of influences like from the 80s you can kind of hear, but I feel for me like he's definitely got his own sound. And
those are at once incredibly flattering yet utterly terrible things to say to an up-and-coming artist. No pressure or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Dornick. We'll allow our listeners to judge themselves. This is Dornick with On My Mind.
And then you got me doing things for you I never ever do. Oh girl, I think I got a thing for you.
That was On My Mind from Dornick from his eponymous debut album. You mentioned there that people had made comparisons to Michael Jackson and Prince. You can kind of hear that. It does have that sort of big Quincy Jones late 70s, early 80s production sound about it. But that is an odd sounding song. It's one of those things that shouldn't work, but it kind of does, because the riff and his vocals sound like they're working at odds.
Yeah, they do, but somehow it works all right. Like, I think he's taken samples and re-recorded them there. So his production style is very much more towards, like, The Weeknd and the kind of new wave of R&B artists. So it's not classic kind of 80s production, but maybe the vocals are more compared to that kind of era, perhaps. But I think it is creating a really new sound. It's quite fresh. So he's 24 years old, so he's very... you know, new on his kind of journey, I guess, to being an artist. He actually came from Jessie Ware's band. He was a drummer for her band. So I guess, I don't know if he just passed the mix tape over and got lucky onto the same label, but it seems to be working, so...
Okay, well, we'll move on to your second choice this evening. This is the synth pop duo Deluxe, who've got as far as their second album, which is called Generation. Deluxe, who are they and what do you like about them?
So, yeah, I think they're... pronounced Deluxe, apparently. They're on a really good label called Innovative Leisure, who that's like bass drums of Def, an artist called Rye. Basically, everything that comes out is just really, really amazing and kind of ahead of its time. Although this is quite a vintage sound, we're here in a minute.
Which vintage exactly are we talking about?
It does sound like it's sort of between 1979 to 82. Like you'll hear, you might hear a little bit of Talking Heads and Duran Duran, even like a bit of ESG in places. But they're obviously heavily influenced by those bands. But again, they're kind of early 20s, these two guys, and they're on their second album now, Generation. And they're just kind of lyrically really interesting and just for me, like, I just think it's quite a nice summer record. It's quite balearic-y. It's quite kind of post-punk. It's disco. There's a lot of influences kind of jammed into it. So
there was a lot of influences jammed into that period, that sort of 79 to 82 that you mentioned. It was a really strange period for music, which did result in some brilliant and also some completely dreadful things. It's amazing how it's become such a... I don't know, the nostalgia for the production of that period I find odd, the fact that people still keep going back to those enormous cavernous drums and cheesy organs as if they were ever really that good an idea. This is entirely my personal prejudices overspilling. Okay, let's hear a track from there. Album Generation. This is Deluxe with LA Threshold. LA Threshold by Deluxe, which sounded, and I think I mean this actually as a compliment, a bit like Talking Heads trying to record the theme from Miami Vice. I really like that. It is odd. Reminds me a bit of Magnetic Fields as well. It has that sort of very luxuriant yet sardonic way about it. But as we were saying earlier, it always seems strange to me that the 80s sound has become such a touchstone. Is it just... Has it become a thing, I guess, of subsequent younger generations of musicians who can't remember it from the first time and therefore don't associate it with the things which those of us who can remember the first time do associate it with?
I guess it is to a degree, and I guess it's a lot about inheriting record collections and
I think that's
maybe
a big
things
part
being
of it.
Passed down. And Yeah, I mean, for me as well, that guy, Sean Gurin, I think his name is, the singer, he's got such a mature voice as well for someone who's only early 20s. So it really threw me when I heard this record for the first time. But yeah, they record in one take as well, so they're a bit like Talking Heads in that respect as well. And yeah, I think that they do. I don't know where they kind of come up with the ideas to do this, but if you hear the lyrics, they kind of reference kind of modern cultural reference points, like taking selfies and things like that. So it's describing like a current scene in LA, yet it sounds like it's from the 80s, so they're not talking about, the social commentary is different.
No, I really like that. The album Generation by Deluxe is out now. It's on Innovative Leisure Records. We will move along to your final selection, which is very much on your turf. It's from the soundtrack, or of the soundtrack, of Guy Ritchie's new spy film, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. This is by Daniel Pemberton, BAFTA Ivor Novello award-winning composer, etc. We'll talk about this and what makes a great soundtrack shortly, but first we'll hear a bit of it. This is Take You Down. From Daniel Pemberton's soundtrack to Guy Ritchie's The Man from U.N.C.L.E. See, that to me had more than a whiff, I'm sure, intentional and reverential, of Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, with the big wailing vocal and those galloping drums underneath it.
Yeah, definitely did. He actually recorded two drum sets for that. So he notated out the drum pattern and had two drummers in Abbey Road Studios in Studio 2, which has a big 60s music kind of heritage, because that kind of comes through in the spy music kind of chase scene brief that he was given. So yes, that's why it's kind of such a full sound, that really raw energy that track has. It's kind of on the ultimate chase scene towards the end of the film, so it's full of energy, and it really kind of works with the whole call and response, I think, with the drums and the vocal, which has been treated quite heavily, but it's quite a good edgy song for the score, definitely.
When you're thinking about music for a film soundtrack, should it just simply serve the film, or should it be able to exist as something people would want to listen to without watching the film while they're listening to it?
I'd say the first, where you mentioned, really, yeah, the sole purpose is really for the film, for the visual. I think it's great. It's a bonus in a way for the musician and composer, because they can sometimes further monetize from the soundtrack, which is great, because sometimes budgets are really tight. I think that works better actually for documentaries, but again, it only really works if, you know, you can get some really, really dark and melancholic, depressing scores that nobody's really going to like listen to that often. It's a very niche area anyway, but if it can work, if it is a particular piece that works, there's a really great documentary called Garnet's Gold, which was directed by Ed Perkins, that was released earlier this year, which shown on BBC Storyville. Now, that really does work, because it's got actual songs that they produced in it. So it really works as amazing OST. Like, if you haven't seen the documentary, it's just a brilliant piece of music. So yeah, that does really kind of work in its own entirety. But I think the sole purpose really needs to be about the visual.
And how rarefied a skill is it for a composer to be able to adjust what they do to, I guess, someone, literally someone else's vision?
I think you need to be kind of in it for that reason, because you are giving away a lot of your artistic integrity at times. I think once you've made it to a certain status as a composer, people will come to you for your sound. But I think earlier on in people's careers, and you really are kind of giving up a lot of your like kind of ego, and you have to be kind of patient and be willing to have that relationship with a director, because otherwise it will be really sour grapes down the line if you can't agree. But you've been hired, effectively you've been hired to do a job on a brief. So I think the bigger you become, like, the more kind of waiting you have. So I know I heard that with Guy Ritchie, I spoke to Daniel about this particular score, and I know that with Guy Ritchie, he actually like listened to tons and tons and tons of different showreels for this, but he said that Daniel's was the only one that actually stood out to him, that he had his own sound, because they all kind of sounded like the same, like Hollywood traditional kind of obvious, you know, film music, if you like. So with Daniel, I think with his soundtracks, they tend to always sound completely different. So I think that's a real plus point for him. And he's done a great job with this.
Okay, well, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. soundtrack is out now. The film's also out in cinemas worldwide now or now-ish. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Rebecca Grierson, thank you very much for joining me in the studio. You have been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Miller. My producer was Holly Fisher. The researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We will be back at the same time tomorrow for this week's TV review. But for now, it's goodbye. And thanks very much for listening.